Chris Peters, NHL writer at CBSSports.com, joins us. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
Well, Game 7 tonight, Game 7 tomorrow. A fantastic 24 hours of hockey you throw in last night in the elimination of the Washington Capitals in one of the strangest third periods I have ever seen in a hockey game. Well, I've never seen back-to-back-to-back over-the-glass penalties by one team. That in itself was crazy. And, you know, against the best power play in the NHL, and they only gave up one. So it was almost like a victory. Well, actually ended up being a big victory for them. When you look back on the Capitals, that series, to me, the biggest difference, I thought, honestly, was Pittsburgh's depth defensemen, when they were called upon in Pouliot and Schultz, didn't make the mistakes that Weber and Schmidt made that cost game-winning goals. And to me, I think the series was that tight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's definitely a part of it. You know, the fact that the depth defense for Pittsburgh was expected to be the liability, the wild card, what we didn't know about. But they didn't really hurt them at all. And then you've got the colossal mistake from Mike Weber in game four, and there's, you know, Nate Schmidt got he played himself out of that roster spot as well that put Weber in there, and then you have the Orpik suspension, and, you know, things just didn't go well from there. But, you know, I think overall the Capitals didn't necessarily play poorly in the series. There were those little tiny mistakes here and there, some bigger mistakes like the Weber one. So that series was kind of, I mean, you know, I guess the way it goes is that's the playoffs. You know, like, this is what it's about. You can't always expect the best team on paper to win. You can't always expect the best players to be your best players. It's just everybody seems to step up, and I think Pittsburgh's depth as a whole, not just the defensemen, but then you got, you know, their secondary scoring and everything else, really came through for them in that series more so than Washington did.
I think you're right on the money when it comes to the Capitals. Obviously, when the President's Trophy winner gets knocked out, some people overreact, especially the fans in that city. You know, it's a disaster. To me, it's a disappointment. Barry Trotz is the same coach he was. It was a close series. I don't see a need for panic or a bunch of rejigging with this Caps club. How about you?
I am totally with you. I think that this is as much as that is disappointing, with this is the same old story with the second round exit, I think that this was a year of progress for the Capitals. And I look at them as a team that is going to be able to learn from this. They're going to have almost the entirely same roster next year with the guys that they have under contract next season, and can bring some other guys back that are up. So I don't think, you know, I almost think you make one or two tweaks or two or three tweaks. It's not going to be an overhaul, because you had a formula that worked. And unfortunately, in the playoffs, that's the way it goes sometimes, where you have everything in place. You've got the right roster. You got the guys. You look great on paper. You've got the goaltender. Everything is going right. But that doesn't matter, because we've seen time and time again where teams that maybe were not expected to play well go through. And then also, you got this new playoff format where you're going to play good teams in the first two rounds now, where it's not, even if you win the President's Trophy, you're going to run into somebody that's going to really challenge you. And that's what we saw with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I think this is a situation where Washington needs to, you know, refocus, just learn from the mistakes that were made, but don't change too much, because you've put your organization in the right direction. They restructured the right way, and they have something there. So, to blow it up, or to even, you know, make any drastic moves or move core players out would be a big mistake.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, they would hope that next season Kuznetsov would be more productive in the postseason, and that itself, one or two extra points could be the difference. You move to tonight's game, and I'll be honest, I'm surprised Dallas made it this far in this series. You know, I expect them to beat Minnesota, but I thought St. Louis would have an easier time, and I give Dallas a ton of credit. Game six, Lettinen absolutely stole the show after a brutal start by the Blues. Does Lettinen have to be that good again, realistically, for Dallas to win, or do you think Dallas can win by outplaying the Blues? Do you think they have enough firepower without Sagan to outplay the Blues forward to defense?
Well, you know, I think they showed that in game one, where they really surprised the Blues, but they don't have the element of surprise anymore. So that's, I think that they absolutely do need Kari Lettinen to be outstanding. They need him to try and steal the game, and, you know, he just stole them one. I don't know if he's got it in him to steal another one, and the stakes as high as they are. And I'm with you. I think that the Blues on paper just looked like so much better in so many different ways where it comes to depth, and they had the goal scoring in addition to the strong defense. Brian Elliott has been really reliable up until the first period of the last game. And so, you know, I still think that the Blues should be favored in the game. But you know what? This series, I don't know that I predicted a single, if we're going game by game, I don't know what I thought going into the game happened in any of them. So, you know, it's just kind of a weird series that way. I think Dallas absolutely, they got away with one in game six, but, you know, they've had flashes in this series where, you know, you see why they won the division. You see why they were able to put so many teams on their heels. And, you know, I think it'd be a different story if Sagan was healthy and things were going a little bit better for them. But, yeah, I mean, the Blues right now, you know, with all that pressure and everything that everyone is saying, I just can't see how, you'd think that they would crumble under that, but I just cannot see how they would go out of this series the way that they did and have it be the same story. But, you know, like I said, every single game that I thought was going to go one way, it always seemed to go the other way. So, that makes it fun and unpredictable. So I guess that's a good thing, too.
Well, you know what happens, too, if Lehtinen has another game like he just had and the Blues fail to advance, and I'm somebody that picked the Blues to come out of the conference, we're going to have the Ken Hitchcock talk again, even though he does not play the game. Let's not forget that. Do you see that happening if the Blues are out? What do you think about Hitch's future or lack of same in St. Louis?
Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, I guess, in a weird way, the easy decision, not necessarily that it's the right decision, but I think people are going to want someone to be held accountable. And it's probably going to be Ken Hitchcock if that's the case. And, you know, I think that what we've seen in this series, he's actually played the game pretty well himself, even though he's not playing on the ice. He's been a little bit coy. He's been kind of playing with the media. He's been trying to throw his opponents off his sense a little bit there and has kind of been playing us like a fiddle for the most part with some of his comments and not committing to a starting goaltender or, you know, saying they wanted 70 hits. And then, you know, because I think we've seen them kind of alter their style every once in a while. Like last time we saw them really push the pace and be more of an attacking team. And we've seen them at times make the mistake of sitting back. So, you know, I think that's been kind of interesting to see. But I think when it comes down to it, the guys that they have in place, to me, this is another team where it looks like a year of progress as opposed to, even if they go out in this series, as opposed to, you know, a complete failure, because they looked really good this year. They have some new additions that have really panned out well, like Colton Parayko and Robbie Fabry, homegrown prospects. You know, so I don't think this is another situation where you say, okay, well, we got to shift everything. We have to completely rearrange how we're thinking, because you would be doing that based on essentially one game, and I don't think that's necessarily the right idea. But if they don't advance, I think that this could be Ken Hitchcock's last game as the head coach. And I, you know, based on what's out there, I'm not sure that they would find a whole lot better and make a vast improvement behind the bench. So there's certainly some challenges ahead if they don't make it out tonight.
Chris Peters from CBS Sports, a National Hockey League writer, getting set to cover game seven. Then you got the Predators and the San Jose Sharks. Funny, the Sharks and the Blues are kind of similar exact situations to the Washington Capitals. They've been very good teams for years. Now, the Sharks have made it to the third round twice. This would be three times in 8 years, which is pretty darn good. But for many, that's considered a disappointment. What do you make of that series, which has been a whole homer series, the home team winning all six games? Do you think that continues tomorrow?
Here's another one where it just seems like every prediction you try to make, it goes sideways on you. But, yeah, I think that this is another series where the Sharks have been better for longer stretches than the Predators, I think. And, you know, we've seen Nashville really show some great resilience in coming back in some of these games and late goals and getting those overtime game winners. So they're certainly an interesting and intriguing team to me. I just think that now San Jose's found that comfort level on home ice. I think that they feel a confidence level in the playoffs. You know, they've got a really good coach behind the bench in Peter DeBoer, who I think has made a lot of great decisions in these playoffs, and they've got their stars that have played so well. And I mean, the game that Joe Thornton, Joe Pavelski, and Tomas Hertl had in their last game was probably the worst game they'll ever play. And in terms, you know, they were absolutely dominated in possessions, were complete non-factors in that game. I don't think that we would ever see them do that two games in a row. They've been too good in these playoffs, and I think that's going to be the real difference, is that line will probably step up and have a big bounce back game. And then you just need Martin Jones to hold on for you. He did look a little shaky late in that game. I thought, you know, the nerves kind of started to set in. I didn't think that, he played all that great at the end. But over the course of the entire playoffs, I think he's earned the trust of his team. And I like them to advance to the next round as well.
Well, Chris, nothing better than back-to-back Game 7s. Enjoy tonight and tomorrow. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.